Oh, thank you, men. Great job this morning. Thank you for leading us. I called my good friend Ken Whitten at the Idlewild Baptist Church. Last Sunday night after our fellowship was Ken's 24th anniversary at Idlewild down in Tampa. And I said, hey, just calling to say happy congratulations and a happy anniversary. He said, man, we had a great day. He said, we had this group singing with us today called Veritas. You ever had them? I said, well, I hadn't until next Sunday. And he said, you're going to like those guys, guaranteed. And indeed, I have loved from afar, know some of these young men. And I walked in the green room this morning to greet them and found them in prayer. That encouraged the pastor. Find these men calling out to God for his anointing and his touch before they would come and stand here to sing. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us on this good Lord's Day. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in a moment in verse 20, and read through verse 23. We've been thinking about renewal, revival, awakening during these last few weeks, and we want to continue in that vein today with a message that I've entitled, Vessels Useful to the Master. Speaking of vessels that are useful to the master, I have some good friends here with us. It's been said, Ellie's over here. Where are you, Ellie? There you are, sweet lady. We've been praying for you. I've prayed much for you. Matter of fact, our text, our good friend Leah Taylor this morning, didn't realize you would be here, didn't know if you were coming, but it's good to see your beautiful and smiling face. And we've been praying for God's touch and mercy and healing power on your life. Blessed be the name of our great God. And then Al Elmore, where are you in this room? Al, where are you, Al? Where'd you go? Here he is. Yeah, right here on the front row. This Al, stand up. This is Al Elmore from the Cottage Hill Baptist Church in Mobile, the associate pastor there. Well, he used to be. He got fired last week and is going to pastorate, you know, really resigned, going to a church in Ohio in a couple of weeks. He and his sweet wife taking off to go there, so they came over with their good friends to worship with us today. And Al, been praying with you, walking this journey together, and praying that God would make him be what we're going to talk about this morning, and that is a vessel useful to the master. I'm praying that for you, and praying that for your pastor on this good Lord's Day. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, you hear the word of the Lord. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call to the Lord from a pure heart, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. I'm reading a little short biography of my good friend who is still living, Bill Stafford. Bill's been here and preached for us, pastor for several years in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and now for a long, long time has been an itinerant evangelist and revivalist across America and into Europe. The title of the little book that's been put together about Bill Stafford's life is this: A Clear View from Just a Vessel. A Clear View from Just a Vessel. That's the way Bill Stafford gives his life. I am just a vessel. Well, if you ever come to understand that you are just a vessel, you're well on your way to being used by the sovereign power of Almighty God. Paul says to Timothy in this metaphor that he uses in 2 Timothy, he says, now listen, young man, in a large house, we've got vessels of gold, silver. Some of you in your house, your home where you'll go today, you've got vessels. Some of you have got teacups from around the world with gold rim on them. Oh my. You don't ever drink out of them. You just look at them. You go get a mug that they gave you at some event you went to. That's what you drink your coffee out of. Or your tea. My wife's got a whole collection. Pots and cups. I've brought them to her from around the world. Some of those are worth a lot of money. At least the person sold them to me thought they were. They're fine china. Some have a gold rim, silver engraving on some of them. And then in your home, you've got other vessels. Vessels that are just of clay, just an old pot. Paul uses that metaphor and says, listen, in the family of God, we've got vessels of gold and silver. We've got earthenware vessels. But he said, more importantly than that is not what's on the outside. It's not what they're made out of. It's that there are some that are to honor and some are to dishonor. Now, I want you to think about the church of God today. In our church at Olive and in the church where maybe you go, that church is filled with vessels. Just vessels. That's you. That's me. That's the metaphor that's here. We are a vessel. If you ever get in your mind that what the vessel contains is more worthy than the vessel itself, you're well on your way to spirit-filled living. But as long as you think that the vessel is more important than what the vessel contains, you are bound for a life of fleshly carnality and grunting to do the best that only you can do. But if we ever become a vessel of honor, a vessel that says, oh, Spirit of the living God, fill me, flood me, and make me to be this vessel that does not dishonor your name, but brings honor unto your name. We are ready then for Christ to be in us the very hope of glory. If you're saved today, you are a container. And in you is Jesus. And that is in you is more valuable than your container. As a matter of fact, your container will not last forever, but that it contains is eternal. And when you begin to live for your contents rather than for your own self, you've about grabbed on to the power of the Spirit life. Well, the question begs, how do you become a vessel of honor? There are four action words that I want to give you this morning, taken right out of this text where he speaks to us about being a vessel of honor, and then we will come back to verse 21 and see in our conclusion, if we take these four action steps and become a vessel of honor, what will God do with us? Well, how do we become a vessel of honor? Four things I want you to see. Number one is the word cleanse. Cleanse. Look at it in verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself. Now, this is an interesting construct. Cleanses himself from these things. And he doesn't tell us what they are. The only thing that you can surmise is that there are other vessels, and you must not let the vessels of dishonor contaminate you as a vessel of honor. There's some folk in the church you got to stay away from. Because they'll lead you to the fleshly path. That doesn't mean you hate them or you don't even speak. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that's not your fellowship factor. Because if you stay with those folks that are not living for God, you soon will go down the road with them. And he says, cleanse yourself. So bring yourself to what Wesley called that holy club. That group that you're close with and connected to, and you cleanse yourself collectively from false teachers and false advocates of fleshly religious churchianity. But he also says that you should personally cleanse yourself, and that is where you come to personally cleanse yourself of sin in your own life. Some of you walk in here this morning wretched and filthy from a week of sinful living and no confession. And if you walk into the house of God today and you've heard these men sing, oh, holy night, that's the kind of day that you're to have, is a holy day. It is to be Christ and Christ alone. Let a man cleanse himself. Now, my wife is away for the weekend. She's getting ready to go to Texas and teach, and so she's taken a couple of days in a quiet place down on the beach and just spending a couple of days in the Word and getting ready. And so that leaves me as the king and the queen, bless God, of my house. So I do whatever I want to the next day or two. Amen. But so I've gone into action. I got one sink full. And the other side I'm working on. And so yesterday I got ready to go to bed late last night, and my sweet daughter and my son-in-law had been over for dinner and brought Catherine. And I got ready to go to bed, and I went to the sink to put, and it was all gone. I think my daughter cleaned the kitchen. Or maybe my son-in-law. I'm laying money, it was my daughter. But I don't know. Because I've looked at her car and his car, and he cleans more than she does. But I probably won't use that illustration in the second service when they're here. But all of a sudden, everything was clean. It had checked. Do you understand? If you bring your life before the blood of the Lamb, before confession, God will cleanse you. It's not your doing, it's his doing. It's not you cleansing yourself, it's what the precious Spirit of God does. You don't do the activity, you don't do the action. You come in confession, and God cleanses you from the top unto the bottom and makes you a vessel of honor, ready to be filled with the Spirit of God. Cleanse. Number two, second action point is flee. Flee. Notice in verse 22, now flee from youthful lusts. Flee. Now, when we read this text, immediately coming to our mind in youthful lusts, something is conjured about a physical or a sexual activity. This word, youthful lust, has nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. The youthful lust in the background of this word is impatience or self-assertion or arrogance. It is ill-regulated passion of selfishness. That's what youthful lusts are. Youthful lusts always says me, mine, I. It's about me. It is only a vessel of honor that comes to maturation with the fullness of the Spirit that no longer lives for self and a youthful lust, but lives for a maturity that says, dead to me and alive to him. See, when you're dealing with young people, it's always about them. I remember as a college kid getting ready to go off to Samford University, My father bought me my first car. I mean, my first real new car. I'd had cars before, but I mean, you know, it's like Fred Flintstone. I mean, it's, you know, you stick your foot out for braking it. And, he bought me a 1972 black-on-black Buick Century. Bucket seats, leather interior. It was good. I remember going to the dealership. Looked at it, said, man, I'd love that. And he said, all right, let's deal with it. Guy made a price, and I said, let's go. He said, well, just wait a minute. And so we walk out of there paying several thousand dollars less than youthful lusts would have paid. You see, youthful lust is arrogant. It is impatient. It drives and says, now, for me, for mine. A vessel of honor is not about you. You got to get over you. You got to die to you and grow up. And let God mature your life. Flee from those youthful lusts. Get away from the self-assertion and arrogance that so often follows. And talented people struggle with this more than anything. I can tell you right now, these five guys standing up here behind me will struggle with this if they've not already conquered it. I don't know them well enough to know. Because you see, applause is addicting. It's just addictive. And when you're good, and they're good, and when you're good, it's not far to arrogant. I'm not preaching to them. I'm giving you my testimony. The flesh will drive that. But the Spirit of God will not bless it. I'll never forget Manly Beasley, old Manly, that old prophet that's in heaven. One of the hottest young preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention years ago. If I called his name, many people in here know him. And I mean, he was preaching all over everywhere. God was blessing. Old Manly. I was sitting next to him one time and I looked over at him and I said, man, that guy's really good. I mean, I was just a kid of a preacher, but I was, and I said, boy, he's really good. He said, a lot of style, no power. Now, that's the old prophet talking. You know what happened in about 10 years? The guy ran off with his secretary, lost his church. He's now working a secular job, doesn't preach anywhere. He was all style. No substance. He became a vessel of dishonor. Why? He did not flee youthful lusts. Cleanse, flee, pursue is the third word. It's found in verse 22. And pursue, and he tells us some things to pursue. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now look at these very quickly. There are five of them that are here. Pursue righteousness. Dear friend of mine, you're in this room today, and you don't know if you're going to die and go to heaven. Now, you know you're going to die. It's appointed on every man wants to die, every woman. Now, but where are you going to go when you die? The only way to go to heaven when you die is to trust Christ, and Christ alone, as this last song Veritas did for us. And it is to trust not just your faith. You trust the righteousness of Jesus. You see, Jesus' righteousness is imputed, a Bible word, to your account. It's like you owe this much, and God takes what he has and he puts it on your account and it is paid. It's like my wife. My wife's so good at this. She buys stuff, takes it back, buys stuff, takes it back, buys stuff, takes it back. And I get the credit card bill that comes in the mail and it's got a negative down there. And I'm thinking, I like this deal right here. I'm up $125.37. Well, it's just matching numbers. But let me tell you, what Jesus did, what you owed, he put it on his account.
He imputed his righteousness for you. That's what he did when he died. We call it a substitutionary atonement. He took your place. Well, what you ought to pursue is his righteousness, not your own. Pursue faith. How can you be reliant on God? I mean, trusting God every step of the way. That's why you ought to be a tither. It teaches you how to trust God. It helps you pursue faith. You ought to give because it'll bless you and it'll help others, but you'll pursue faith. Then he says pursue love. It's the love of Christ. You ought to love Christ, but you ought to love one another. You ought to find some people to pursue that you love that right now you don't think too much of them. Then you'll become a vessel of honor when God sends that through you. Pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace. Now that word peace doesn't mean just getting along with everybody. This is an internal word here. This word, peace, is the irene word in the Greek New Testament. And it means self-rest, quietness. You are just at peace with who you are. Doesn't matter what happens. I walked in the door out here this morning. Huey Pearson usually meets me and walks in with me on Sunday. I walked in. Huey said, "How you doing?" I said, "This is going to be a great day." He looked at me because that's not usually what I say when I walk in the door. He said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "It's just going to be a great day." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't know. God's in charge. I don't have to worry about anything." I said, "If 100 people get saved or nobody comes forward, it doesn't matter. It's not on me. It's on God. That's his business, not mine. I'm just at rest. I'm in quietness. I'm just going to pursue peace today, and I'm going to follow it like a bloodhound. I'm just going after the peace of God, and the Lord will be in charge, and I'll preach heaven sweet and hell hot, sin black. We'll just wait on God. God does something, amen. If he doesn't, I'll go home and have lunch. I'm just going to rest in him." Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And then pursue fellowship. Now watch this, watch this. He says to pursue all these things in verse 22 with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You are to fellowship. You're to collectively, there is to be a pursuit that you do individually, but there is a collective pursuit. It's called the local church that you go forward with. Some of you ought to come join Olive Baptist Church this morning and join hands with us as we pursue righteousness and faith and love and hope and greatness and goodness and koinonia. We go forward together. That's why you ought to come put your life here. You ought to join this family. Come and link your life. Right here, pursue, pursue, cleanse, flee, pursue. And the fourth word is the word refuse. Refuse, look at it in verse 23. "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels." Boy, wouldn't it be a great day to be a congressman? Goodness gracious. Trying to bring together various sides in a government slimmed down. It's tough. So much quarreling and wrangling. Well, you know, that's kind of how government does it. I tell you what concerns me is when the church does it like that. When God's people do it like that. He says, just avoid that. Listen to what Paul went on to say to young Titus. He told that to Timothy, also told it to his young preacher Titus. In Titus chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "Avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and a second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned." You ever meet these folks and they're just against everything? You give them $100 and they're against it. I mean, they're just born in the kickative mood. They're just tense about everything. And no matter what you say, they dispute that. They just want to argue for a living. God says, refuse that. That doesn't mean they're not things that you need to speak about and do. But I'm talking about these people that just, see what happens. If you're a vessel to dishonor, you'll have a bitter spirit that is negative about everything that comes along. It doesn't matter what it is. There is just this, and Paul says, refuse to be drawn in to that kind of argumentative lifestyle. Refuse it. Because there are greater things to do if you're going to be a vessel of honor. So if you're going to be a vessel of honor, you've got to cleanse, flee, pursue, and refuse. Now, I say that by way of introduction to give you what I want to talk to you about. The message is really short. Look at it right here in verse 21. Here's what he says. When you become this vessel of honor, here's what I will do with you. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, verse 21, he will be a vessel for honor. And here it is, three things: sanctified, useful, and prepared for every good work. Let's look at it. If you become a vessel of honor, number one, you're going to be holy. You're going to be sanctified. You're going to be set apart. You're to be holy, 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 filled with the Spirit of God. You examine yourself, then you cleanse yourself, you confess, you ask God to fill you, and if you cry out to your earthly father and he'll give you good things, how much more will the heavenly father give you the Holy Spirit if you will ask him, Jesus said. And then you receive that and you thank him, and there is this holiness that comes in you. So that when you're holy, there's some things that you don't do. There's some things you don't look at. There's some places you don't go. When you're holy, there are some things you do look at, and there are some places you do go. And you walk in holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. You're reading from a holy Bible. We speak of the Holy Trinity. What is it? It speaks of sanctification. And friend, you cannot be holy without the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. You cannot. You become a vessel of honor. And the first thing that shows is holiness. Secondly, is a helpfulness. A helpfulness. He says you're useful to the master. You got any folks live at your house that are useless? I got a cat. My wife goes off on her retreat. She doesn't take the blessed cat. So what happens at 3:07 this morning? Evidently, it's cat quiet time. It's time to get up and read the Word of God. Is this thing's... They don't touch you, but you know they're there. Amen. So she found herself against the wall over on there. Useless. You're supposed to be useful. Useful. A purpose. Say, friend, when you become a vessel of honor, you become useful. All of a sudden, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That is in you is greater than you are. And that you contain is of greater value than the container. And so in the Spirit of God, you become useful. And God has a plan for you. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, I'll help you. Some of you ought to volunteer in child care. Matter of fact, if you have children, you ought to always volunteer in child care. You ought to pay your due down there. You ought to do it. And even if you don't have children or you ought to go down there and help them. They need help. I'm telling you, well, all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on at Olive, but we've got scads. I mean, they'll be in that second service. I mean, there's scads of these young couples, and there's babies, 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 babies. And they're just showing up. And they're running over down there at 9:30 and 11 o'clock, and they need help. You ought to be useful. Quit worrying about your container and use what's in you to go love on some children. In Jesus' name, can I get a witness? Go down there and sign up. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, how about a little older kids? You help them with a fall festival coming up. Man, There's a table right out here. You can sign up, be useful. You're going to give some time on a Saturday to help kids. They're going to ride a pony or rub a duck or, you know, or they're going to throw a bean bag. You know, some of these kids, they've never been to church before. Never been on his campus. And we need an army of people to extend their arms and be. So I ain't got time for that. Well, you probably got an honorable vessel. Other plans, but sitting home on your blessed assurance is not an excuse. Useful. Are you useful? Just taking up air. Christmas box. You want to help a kid? Get a box. Want to do missions? Get a box. Useful. I'm just telling you, 99.9% of the people in this church can do a box. There's some people couldn't do a box, but I'm just telling you, nearly anybody in here could do a box. Stop by now, I'll show you. High school's getting ready to have a retreat. They need help. They're going to do a full day called blackout. You sit in a worship guide. I'm just giving you, because you said you didn't know how to become useful, well, I'm just giving you some practical application. Get to know your neighbors. I'm getting to know my neighbors in an unusual way.
I got a letter in the mail the other day,
and it was to my housing address, but nobody at my house is the name that's on the letter. It's to Mrs. La da 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 da, and my mailing address, Pensacola, Florida, right zip code. I just thought it's junk mail. I ripped it open. It had $500 in it. Now I'm trying to discern if that is a Christmas gift to me. I'm hunting high and low. I'm going up down the street. Is your name? Because I don't know some of my neighbors. But I'm asking everybody, is this your name? Well, I don't tell them what I got. Because I'd find 10 people with this name if I told them I had $500. I get to know your neighbor and then be useful. Now, parenthetically, time out and then I'm going to finish. Do not, in Jesus' name, do not walk down here and tell me you know how to find this person. I don't care if you can. I don't want to know that you can. I don't give a rip that you can. I'll handle this. This is my illustration. Leave me alone. Okay, now I'm coming back up here to finish, all right? Useful. Be useful. Be holy, be helpful, and you. And thirdly, prepared for every good work. Preparation. Oh, you got to be prepared for the good work. I don't know what God's called you to do, but He's got a job for you. But He's looking for you to be a holy vessel. And when He finds that holy vessel, He uses that vessel to be holy, to be helpful, and to be a prepared instrument of His gracious hand, extending it in the kind name of Christ. How's your vessel? How's your vessel? My vessel's getting old. Not at all some of you. My vessel's got a little age. But you see, the issue is not out here. It's what the vessel contains. You're a container. And greater is he that's in you. Not only is greater that's he that's in you than the wicked one that's in the world, greater is he that's in you than the one he's in. And you got to die to you and live to him so that the issue is the honor that comes from Jesus in you, so that you become holy and helpful and you're prepared for every good work. And you never know when you've got to be ready. I'm telling you, it just comes in and you got to be ready. Okay, I'm ready. And you're ready because your vessel is filled. You're filled. You're holy, 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 holy. All right, here's how we're going to quit today. Have we even got a piano? Yeah. They're moving everything, getting ready for this redo. Carrie, just start playing something. Preferably a church song, but whatever. Maybe we ought to try. She'll be coming around the mountain for invitation ones. I just start coming. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stand right down here, and I want some encouragers to come help me. And we're not going to sing a song and have a come forward invitation, but if you need to join this church, I'm going to be standing right here. I want you to come. If you've never been saved, I want you just to come right down here, and we're going to get somebody to pray with you, encourage you. What I want you to do today is before you leave, I want you to find another vessel. I want you to thank that vessel for what they're doing for Jesus. Just want you to thank them. Maybe they've been instrumental in helping you. Then just shake their hand or hug their neck. Don't run out the door. Just linger a minute. But if you're here without Christ, come right here. This is our invitation. If you're here and want to join this church. Last Sunday night, I had two or three couples that came forward after church and said, "Pastor Jim asked us if we want to join the church. Can we do it?" Yeah. You know, when God gives the invitation, things really happen. The Spirit of God draws you today. Then you come. We want to help you. You need somebody to pray for you? Struggling with an issue? Then come. And I've talked to some people struggling today. Then come. You may be here and just need to come kneel for a few minutes and bring your vessel and say, "Oh, God, fill me. Fill me. Fill me." Then we're going to do that. So we're going to hang out here for a few minutes with the invitation. And then when we leave, the two things I want you to don't forget. Veritas got a table out there. A lot of great music I've been looking at. There's CDs for sale. So you stop by, get that. You need that Christmas deal coming up. They've got them out there. Then the shoe boxes are at every door. Get your box. Fill it. And it's a beautiful picture of what we've been preaching about this morning. Because that'll go in that box is more valuable than the box. The box just becomes the vessel that transports what we're talking about. You are the vessel that transports the good news. You transport the life of Christ because he's in you. If he's not in you and you need him today, come. If you're here and need a church, come. If you're here and you know somebody that's blessed you, hug them in Jesus' name. Doors are locked. Love the vessels. Bill Stafford said, "I am just a vessel." That's what I am. I'm God's vessel. You're God's vessel. Are you honorable or dishonorable? Be filled with Jesus. Be an honorable, useful, holy vessel today. I'm right here. Some other guys will be here. Let's just stand quietly. Begin to fellowship with one another. Don't run out the door. This is our invitation time. At 5:30 tonight, we'll be having face. So just fellowship. I'm right here. God bless you. I'll see you next time at a place called Olive.